Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this June 7th day, 2020. As we look at the word God, question mark, I am getting a lot of emails regarding the idea of God in this pandemic. And what the heck his ideas could be. Maybe he's punishing us. I don't know. That's what people are saying or thinking, generally speaking. So we'll talk a little bit about this God thing that people have. Yeah, there's always got to be someone in control here, you know. It is very hard. Most people in this country have some sort of belief in God. A God, their God, their idea of God. So let's just, kind of get that out as the premise of all of this. People usually take the traditional pedestrian mentality attitude about God, that he is this man. And I've always wondered about that, even as a child, why... anyway, why he had to be a man. But according to the Bible... which no woman's group will ever question, evidently. I don't know. I've never heard anybody say, they're going to Me Too God. So he certainly deserves it after all the shenanigans that God has created through man. And according to the Bible, I personally don't buy any of it, but... That is where most people find themselves. So we're going to talk a little bit about this today and hopefully be able to maybe put a grin on your face for those of you who are similar to myself. And for those of you who are not, there's going to be probably a grimace. I want to say on the onset of all of this that nature, which is the order of life as we know it, nature, which is the order of how things happen here on earth, neither rewards nor punishes any of us. But that does not mean that in nature there are not consequences for the things we do. So, like petulant little children, we go about our daily life tempting the fates of the order of life and the order of how things work. And we do this in a very, what do I want to say, mischievous way. I'm going to keep it clean. A very mischievous way. We simply are so arrogant, so narcissistic, so selfish that we think we can get away with whatever we want to do. And we do do what we do in order to further whatever, our bank account, become rich, become famous, but more than anything, become powerful. There are some things that I think you should read books. I think they're excellent books. Of course, Homo Deus, and Sapiens being the first to behave by Sapolsky. And I really think if you are deeply interested in how humankind pans out and how we break the order of life, you might want to look at the history of the world that Oliver Stone has done. It's on Netflix, I'm told. And you take a good look at that. That's an interesting history. I saw it a few years ago. I'm rewatching it now from time to time when I have a few moments. It really shows you the psychology of humankind gone amok. And you begin to see how power hungry we are. And the question always keeps coming up, why do we do the things we do to break the order of this world, than an order of nature, in order to become more what we think of as powerful. And to us, power is what it's all about. We can't control ourselves, so we try to control others, and that's part of the power thing. So let's take a look at the first question. Comes from Ray. He lives in Kansas City. And Ray, I thank you for the little... memory lane thing of Unity Village out there in Kansas City. I Kansas City, when I was living there, was a wonderful place. It was great restaurants, and the people were kind of homey. But very kind in some ways, not always. And I like Mahomes. I think he's a great quarterback. Anyway, back to Ray. He says, Greg, is there a God at all? Do you believe in God? What is God doing right now? Ray. I don't know what God's doing. Maybe I'm recording this at 2:38 a.m. in the morning. Maybe he's sleeping. I don't know. But there you are. I don't think that my opinion of God is going to change anything in you. But you probably want to hear my version of God, as you would say. And then compare it to your own and see if we're a good fit. And I figure that's what you're doing right now. So I'm going to give you that answer. My direct experience of God has nothing to do with a man. My feelings about the whole idea of the Bible are very strong. I took many a Bible class while I was in seminary and even in college. And I had some interesting teachers. I really did. As I look back at the whole thing, the Bible is just really an ancient pack of allegories and stories put together in some hodgepodge way and edited in some hodgepodge way, and then put to the book and made to be real. And I think a lot of it has to do with how you affect congregations and people.
People don't have a clue about what their life is all about.
They don't even care to have a clue about their life or what life is all about. They have absolutely no interest in their life. They have a great interest in their living. They think that the things that they do in the form of earning a living and having a living is very important to them. Hence the whole idea of politics. They believe that politics determine the level of your livingness, your comfort, your security, that kind of thing. So people get very much enamored with the whole idea of politics, and religion and politics work together, and we don't have the mental acuity to look within ourselves, to go so deep within ourselves that we actually see the origins of our life within us. So we're busy, very busy in our mischief, and we have created this idea of a God. Whose image and likeness is that of, I guess, a man, as I have read it, and maybe I'm wrong, but God is the image and likeness of a man, not a woman. He has a man, I suppose he has a penis, and I'm sure it is very big. And we've all felt it at one time or another in our life. We really have to look at it and see how immature and ridiculous this whole thing is. And when it's brought to light without some minister yelling and screaming at you, telling you that you have to believe this and have to believe that, you start to really realize how taken you've been. If you think politics have been corrupt, religion has been right there, right beside, working with politics to create the garbage that most of us are experiencing now in our life. So there you are. Is there a God? Well, not the one that you believe in. Not the one that your mental acuity can cling to, hold on to, accept. I mean, look at your mind for a moment. How is it that you and my mind come to conclusions about things, assumptions about life, about people, about objects? What is my acuity, my mental acuity? What is it based on? If you read Behave by Sapolsky, you will begin to understand what that's all about, how that all works. But you have to read it. You have to get through the science. You have to understand the state of the science. We are impossible. Absolutely impossible as creations. We have hundreds and thousands of legions of people in us. And the minute you enter into this world, you enter into a world where you were probably incarnated here many, many times or places like this, where you had a family and people, and you inherited a great deal of emotionality and the kind of emotionality of fear based on DNA, the body, being afraid of how you would survive if you would survive the way you would survive, just living off the land, as I call it. And so out of all of that, we have created someone in charge, and it's a someone. Not a something, not a presence, not anything higher than what we can think. And because we live like that, we live for what we can think and how we can think. Our whole idea of God, our whole idea of life, our whole idea of the meaning of life is all predicated on the assumptions of our mind and our body and our genetics. And so God is not God, as Jesus would have talked about it. God is the assumption of my genetic inheritance. And for most people, they don't care because they've never seen God intervene in their life, get them what they want, or supply them with something that was important to them. For the most part, when they prayed for God to help them, they didn't get it. Not the way they wanted it, or not, it never came at all. Praying for someone who's dying, their child dying, or whatever. I've heard it many times at hospice, why did God take my child? Because he wanted to. Because he had a plan. That you can't know about, that's religion's answers. That's not mine, but that's religion's answers. So, with all that being said, one of the greatest hoaxes that has ever been perpetrated on the American public, on the world public, is the idea of God. So there you are. No, I do not believe in the traditional Christian God. I don't believe. So it's not a matter of that to me. It's not something I look at and go, I believe, and get all emotional. It simply is what it is, and I go in another direction, something of direct experience. And that's more important, Ray, than biblical assumption and training. I'm sure that was not a satisfying answer to you, but nevertheless, you asked, and I deeply appreciate your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question. If there is a God, what do you think he's doing right now with this pandemic? And this is from Sheila, and she does not tell me either where she lives. Nobody wants to admit where they live. That's interesting. What do I think he's doing with the pandemic? First of all, this pandemic is man-made. We did this. This is the consequence of ignorance and sloppy work. Let's just say it was not intentional, okay? That the whole pandemic was not something intentional. Then it was sloppy. And what are you experimenting with? What's your criteria for experimentation? Why would this even come up? Why would this even occur? There has to be an experiment that's being done, and you have to ask yourself, what were they experimenting for or to accomplish? So it's due to ignorance, sloppiness, and if it isn't, if it was intentional, then there's another problem, and we don't know. The interesting thing to me about it is how we use life. You can either Use it and live in it in a very loving way or a very self-destructive way. People don't live in this world to elevate their attentions past their desire and pride and vanity. They don't try to elevate their attentions beyond concepts and reason and logic. People are looking for comfort and power. They want to be omniscient, omnipresent. They want to have the power to do whatever they want whenever they want. And as long as this desire lives deep inside them, and the fear of being overtaken by someone else who is more powerful, we're going to have these problems in the world. What's the difference between this pandemic and any war we've ever been in? War is ugly. War is terrible. And we willingly and pridefully go to war with the idea that by going to war, we're going to do something great and noble and wonderful. And we're not. We're not. There are some evil people in this world. We breed them. We breed them, you know, with attitude and belief and insecurity. We breed them biologically. People have this karmic knack to get together with others and create all sorts of craziness, crazy people. I've met some real nutcases in my day. Nutcases. I worked at Leavenworth Prison when I was in college and in seminary. And believe me, there are some real crazy people there. They're mentally ill. And we have them in our society, mentally ill people. They may not kill others, thank God, but they'll do other things that are just as godless. They do all sorts of crazy things. They lie, they cheat, they steal. And then it's easy to say, oh, that's fake news, or that didn't happen, or whatever. We don't have any authority in this world that helps us understand the nature of our world and the nature of ourselves other than our hearts, our authentic hearts, and the intelligence to see life from the point of view of the bigger picture. And when you don't have that kind of intelligence, then the only thing you have is fear. And fear assumes it's assumptuous. Fear always is looking out into the world for something to be afraid of, something to worry about, something to live with that is going to be ugly, some kind of worry. Well, if this happens, then that will happen. Then if that happens, then I won't be able to do this and go there and all that. The begats, as I call them. So we're constantly looking at what someone can take away from us rather than what we can give to them, how we can work with people, how we can help one another. Love ye one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. Buddha was all about love. Never use the word God. You have to understand God is cultural. And to the Buddha, he wanted to get away from the idea of the cultural means of God and interpretation. He was an elevated point of view, deeply elevated. Jesus, on the other hand, had the same elevation. He just was talking to poor people, people who, you know, were ignorant. And their language was much more limited than the Pali language that Buddha talked from. Buddha talked from a sophistication and a language that was sophisticated. So you have to understand the difference. But nonetheless, they were two men who were both godly and godless. They were godly in their point of view about how life works and the order of life. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate, did the Buddha say. Jesus talked about it as God is love. They talked about it in a way to help us. They were not giving doctrine and religion. They were giving opportunity awakening for all of us to see the bigger picture of our life, to understand the nature of our life and what it means to have that nature. So you ask me, Sheila, if there is a God, and what do you think he's doing? I don't think anyone's doing anything as far as that's concerned. I think what's going on, since you asked, is human mischief, human neglect, carelessness, no interest at all in the bigger picture of life. And we're a cultural people, and we live by instinct. And because we live in this manner, we cause ourselves a great deal of pain and sorrow. But what can you do? You can't change people. You really can't. Only a person can change themselves. Hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Where is God in this virus pandemic? Why isn't he doing more? From Ronald in Colorado. What do you mean he's doing? What do you think he is? You think he's like you or me? He's got, you know, things to do and he hasn't gotten around to us yet or whatever? Do you think he's sitting there like Amazon and you put in a request or an order and he fulfills it and that's the way it all works?
I don't understand why isn't he doing more?
Why isn't he doing more? How can you worship something that betrays you all the time? I don't understand. You don't have any brains in your head? This God guy that you believe is doing things as you think you're doing things is just ignoring and not taking care of us, really? Where is God in this pandemic? The thing that probably really is disturbing is God is love. And when you start really realizing that nature of love, you start realizing it has nothing to do with our mischief. The question could be asked of us, Ronald: what are we doing in this pandemic? What is it that I'm doing, you're doing? Are we sitting at home just watching Netflix all day, all night? So that's what you're doing. What are you trying to do? Figure this all out? Listen, spend time doing simple things. Get simple during this time. Want nothing with all of your heart. Just chop wood, carry water, as we say in Zen. Just do simple things. Clean your house. And people are telling me they're running out of things to do. Well, then sit quietly. Sit as long as you can. Get a timer. See how long you can sit quietly. Just quiet. Then graduate to how long can you be quiet within yourself? How long of a period where you're not fighting off and fending off your thoughts, coming up with ways to gratify yourself or feelings like you've been punished because all of this is happening? Start looking at the meaning of your life a little bit. Start looking at maybe what you're all about. Maybe you and I, Ronald, are the virus. What are we doing with the virus within us? What are we doing? And how far will we go in our life to understand the nature of our virus and how we interact with one another? And the real virus is hate and fear, not love. So maybe you could let love live you, as I always say. And that could be a very, very valuable experience for everyone. I'm out of here. Ronald, I wish you well. Hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. If you ever want to email me over the weekend, Greg at Aspire.org. All questions are good.
greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste.